like my kids would go and spend the night at somebody's house and they come back and I'm like, oh, all your stuff smells like the Hendricksons. It's not terrible. It's just for some reason their house just has a certain scent. Or I'm just picking on you guys because I feel like I can. I don't even know that you have your own. Enough little kids, actually. We know what that smell is, don't we? People's feet. That's what, no, I never thought that. Yeah, you know, and Malachi would go to school and he'd be at band in the early morning. His good friend Will would, like, oftentimes he'd look over, you smell like bacon. Like, every morning you smell like bacon. I'm like, I think the man smell is bacon. M-A-N-N, the man family smell is bacon. Because we make it every day practically. Bacon, sausage, eggs. We just smell like some meat everywhere we go. But what do you smell like? There's a lot of smells in this world. Some of them are good and some of them are not so good, right? I actually grew up on a pig farm. Talk about a strong smell. I remember scrubbing to try to get that smell off of my hands. And I remember going through my day in high school after, like, working in the morning and showering and scrubbing and, like, oh, it's still on me. I can smell, put some perfume on you or something, right? You know, there's a lot of smells. Some of them are really good. Like, I smell some bread right now. Cecile, do you have bread for me? Yeah, I know. She's going to get it for me. Yeah, bring it on up. I smell it like it's whiffing this way. I hope you have a good nose this morning. I have the nose of like a bloodhound. Until COVID. COVID did a number on my nose, but I'm getting my smell back. Whoa, look at that. Look at that. Oh, that smells so good. Could you just walk the aisles a little bit? Just like put it in front of people's faces. Let them just... Now that... Oh. Don't let anybody else do that. Do not let anybody else do that. Because my husband made me promise, I did not get a piece of bread last service. Do I get a piece of bread? And then during service, Abby leans over, what's up with the bread, Mom? I smell it. Now, bread. I grew up with a mom who made homemade bread. That smell, for me, is like one of the most glorious smells on the earth. Here you go. You can just put it over here. It smells like home. It smells like fall. It smells like Thanksgiving. I mean, there's nothing like the smell of bread. Oh, that was good. That was so good. This is so hot, I can barely. Oh. I promised them. Oh, I got hands. Okay, camera guy, you're going to have to be on it. I am going to be all over the place today. You can do it, Dorian. You can do it. Everyone just say, Dorian, we believe in you. There are hundreds and maybe thousands of people that are depending on you to be the cameraman God created you to be. So there are a lot of smells. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. Because Jesus actually talks about what we're supposed to smell like in this world. Now God, he uses us to spread the fragrance, to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Just pause. Now God uses us. Just insert, I want you to say that except for say, just point to yourself first of all. Just point to yourself. Just raise your hand. Or you say it, God uses me. Say it. God uses me. Nobody else's job. God uses me to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. How? Like a sweet perfume. Isn't that beautiful? Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance. I can't hold the pan. It's just too hot. It's too hot. I want to. Oh, I love it. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance. rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we have the dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task? I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to take the deepest breath. You were created to smell like him. Like a perfume that permeates the earth. Do you know how bad this world smells? It's like it's rotting from the inside out. Sin has destroyed the earth so much to the point that Jesus is going to return and make all things new, right? And so sin is like decaying the earth. But you bring into that death a smell that's different, a smell that's like refreshing, a smell that brings life and all of a sudden hope, the smell of Christ. And let me tell you, you have to, and this is on your sheet, I want you to take some notes today. You have to guard your smell. Grab a pen from a neighbor next to you, write it in. You have to guard your smell. You know the next thing you need to do? You need to settle it now that you were born to smell different than the world. Write that down. You aren't supposed to smell like decaying death. You're not supposed to smell like rot. You're supposed to smell like perfume, like the glory of God. You know, devotion to Christ has a smell. Love has a smell. Forgiveness actually smells like something. Generosity, it actually has a fragrance, doesn't it? When someone doesn't deserve it and you give mercy, guess what? Mercy has a smell. And you, in this world, were created. You were born again into Christ so you could carry his scent. Carry the scent into a world that smells disgusting. Because guess what? Sin has a smell too. And yes, this is real. This is Dudley's doo-doo. Dudley doo-doo, don't you do your doo in the house. You want his doo-doo? I have a yard full of it, buddy. You know what? Lust has a smell. Selfishness, it actually has a smell. Hatred, envy, it smells like something, doesn't it? Betrayal, gossip, they're not innocent things. They have a smell. You see, when we lived on the farm, my dad would sometimes have a hard time finding time to get rid of the dead animals. An animal would die, inevitably something dies, right? You're on an animal pig farm. Maybe a pig dies. We had this one pig we called the inflatable pig because it sat there dead for so long. On hot days, it would blow up. And on cold days, it would go down. I'm not kidding. It's a dead animal, okay? We're like, is the pig up today? And on a hot day, the legs would be straight up in the air. And that pig would be all bloated, you know. And one day, it actually exploded. I'm so glad I was not there, okay? Do you know what? Sin is like, literally, this earth, it's like decaying rot. It has a smell. It wasn't what Jesus intended. It wasn't his plan from the beginning. But sin has only caused the earth to get stinkier and stinkier. Every government of the earth is corrupt. All the plans of men's hearts are wicked and selfish. There's who does right apart from Jesus and those that love God, right? The earth stinks. And you know what? The truth is the world is constantly trying to convince you to roll around in their poop and they call it fun. Just roll around like a... Why do some dogs do that? You just can't hardly wrap your mind around a dog that goes finds a poop pile and like rolls in it. And you're like, oh, why did you do that? Why did you do that, right? And all of us go, that's not fun, doggy. Little Dudley Doo-Doo, why are you rolling in your poo-poo? That's not fun, honey. Don't do it. The world, and I'm talking to teenagers, I'm talking to young people. Sometimes we just want to be like our friends, right? So, Dad, you want to like blend in a little bit. You want to fit in, of course, right? Let me tell you, though, if you spend your time trying to fit in and be like your friends, one day you're going to wake up and realize you were just laying in a pile of poo. Nothing to it. That's why the Lord says, in a dark world, in a stinky, dark world, I have made you a fragrance. I have made you different. I have made you sweeter. God says he actually spreads the knowledge of his love through the fragrance of those that love him. Those that smell like God. Let me tell you, this is on your sheet too. Living for eternity actually keeps us smelling sweet through every season of life. I'm going to say it again. I would encourage you to write it down. Living for eternity will keep you smelling sweet through every season of life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 18. This is the Apostle Paul, and he wrote a letter to people living in the city of Corinth, okay? And the letter is called Corinthians, the book of the Bible. It's one letter. So, you know, like we added chapters and verses and breaks, but he just was writing one single letter, right? When you write a letter to a friend, do you write chapter one, verse one? Dear Abigail, I think you're cool. Verse two, will you be my friend forever? Verse three, yes or no? No, right? We just write the letter. He's just writing a letter, okay? And so he starts out telling us we're the fragrance of Christ, like a sweet perfume, right? And then he goes on to say, we have this glory, this beauty in these little fragile clay pots. We ourselves are fragile, right? But we actually carry his fragrance, his glory. And then he says, we're pressed on every side by troubles. Do you have a trouble? Are you troubled today? But we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. Paul's saying, I have chosen to preach Christ. And because I have, basically you in this church in Corinth, where he's writing to, you know Jesus because I shared Christ with you. But that has cost me trials, tribulations, pressures, constant endangerment of his very life. Let's just talk about suffering for a second. Nobody likes it, but we can't spend our whole life trying to avoid it. Nobody signs up for suffering. Nobody signs up for a pile of trouble. But at the same time, we cannot live our entire lives just trying to avoid being uncomfortable. You can't do it. You'll never do anything for God. You will never step out and share Christ with anyone. You will never take risk. You'll never give till it hurts. You'll never enter a situation to bring Christ into it that's all dicey and troublesome. You'll never be able to do it if you're always trying to protect yourself from suffering. We're just saying, do we expect suffering? Well, in some ways, I guess we do. But when we walk into a room, we should expect everybody to like us. We should expect the favor of God to be on us. We should expect the Lord's making a way where there seems to be no way right now, right? We have good expectancy. At the same time, we know Jesus promised, in this world, you'll have trials. You'll have tribulations. That's it. Take heart, though. I overcame it. And so for Paul, he's got all these trials, all these tribulations. He's constantly in danger. He literally has this group of people chasing him around called Judaizers. And every city he goes in, they try to find out which city he's going to next. And they follow him to make trouble for him. They literally think they're doing this for God. And they just come into a city where he's at to find him, to expose him, to try to get people mad at him, to try to get the government to arrest him, to try to get someone to stone him. And then they go to the new Christians that he's made and try to talk them out of this new gospel. No, you're believing heresy. This is craziness. How many would want to be delivered from that? That would be terrible. That would be awful. Like, God, take it away, right? But this is what he was facing all the time. Yet he said, you know what? Verse 16, we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed day by day. He's like, and this is what he says, for our present troubles are small. How can he say they're small? They're huge. They're huge. But he says they're small and they won't last very long. Why does he say that? Because he's living for eternity. And Paul knew, in light of eternity, anything I go through in this earth is small. In light of eternity and my reward in heaven and how long I'll be alive forever, anything I face is small compared to that. You guys, we go through trials and tribulations, and the only way you can smell sweet as you go through that is if you know your life is here today and gone tomorrow, and it matters how I respond right now. I'm living for eternity. Because later on in Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we must all stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat and will receive a reward for whatever we've done, good or bad. I'm living for a judgment seat moment. And that makes what I'm going through now small. It matters. It's huge. It might cost me my life, but I know how I want to navigate through it. I want to navigate through it to get sweeter, not to get bitter, right? And he says, for our present troubles are small. They won't last long. Yet they produce, what produces? Our troubles. Our troubles produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last how long? Forever. You can go through a trial today that will produce a glory on your life that will literally last forever. There could be a glory that rests on you, a smell, a scent that you get that comes from Jesus that goes with you through your entire life and into eternity, a glory that lasts forever. So what do? Verse 18, we don't look at our troubles that we see now. Isn't it hard not to look at your troubles? How many people stub their toe in the middle of the night on the way to the bathroom? There is nothing else happening in all the world but your toe at that moment, right? You just bang your toe and you're like, oh, there's nothing else in all the world that matters or that is happening. The world stops turning and all your attention is on the toe, right? It's our natural reaction, no matter what our trial is, no matter our tribulation is, our natural reaction is to look at it, to nurse it, to gaze at it, so to speak. And the Lord says, don't look at your troubles. Rather, fix your gaze on things that you cannot see. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see, they last forever. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So for years, I homeschooled my kids, and I especially enjoyed teaching them history. And many times we would take out a historical timeline. Let's say we're looking at ancient history, okay? And you got this long timeline, and each thing, like these huge world events, will just be a blip on the timeline of history. Oh, the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire. Blip. Whoa. The rise and fall of the Byzantine Empire. Blip. Little smaller blip. Rise and fall of the Assyrian Empire. Blip. I mean, we're talking like huge things that happened that affected the entire known world. When you look at it in the timeline of history, it gets a little dot. Blip, blip. What's your trials like? Paul says they're light, they're momentary, they're fleeting. They're not going to last forever. There will be a day we'll stand before the Lord and we'll be glad that we walked through our trials and our tribulations with the right mindset. That we walked through it with Christ to get sweet. This is the truth. I want you to write this one down too. It's on your sheet. Pressure, adversity, and trials make you smell better unless you get bitter. Then you just wasted it. Nothing's more tragic than wasting a hardship. We all go through trials. We all go through tribulations. I mean, think about what's going on with our Afghan brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. Their entire world turned upside down, 6 weeks ago? Did they see it coming? Probably not. All of a sudden, their world is upside down. Did Jesus do that? No. I don't think Jesus wants the Taliban to be in power and killing Christians and taking advantage of little girls. I mean, no, that's the stuff the devil does, right? However, when we go through it, there's a way he wants us to come through it. He wants us to come through it smelling better, smelling even sweeter. I was thinking this week, I got to get some things out here. I was thinking about what brings out fragrances. And I was thinking about this passage. And I felt like all week long, the Lord was talking to me about smelling good. Smelling good, smelling good. And you know, I have some recipes that call for fresh spices that are whole. If you want to take some cardamom, cardamom is used in like chai tea, right? It's used in like a lot of curries. And we like that kind of food at our house. If you take cardamom, it has a fairly mild smell. Don't you? Is that very strong, Corey? Not very strong. It's not very strong. Can you smell something? Yeah, you can smell something. It's pleasing, but it's not like super strong. But you take cardamom and you put it in a mortar and pestle and you start adding some adversity to it. Start adding some trial to it. The cardamom is crying out right now, "What are you doing to me? I was perfect. Why are you smashing me?" Right? But now you take that same cardamom, you add some trial to it, you add some tribulation. Can you smell it, Corey? And it gets so strong. Smells just like a chai tea. Can you smell it? Yeah, good, good. Why? Because actually the pressure brought out the fragrance even more. The devil will try to kill you with the pressure, but God says, we're pressed on every side, Paul says, but we weren't crushed. We weren't destroyed. So he says, like we were perplexed. Why am I going through this? He goes, but we were never driven to despair. We always had hope. We were hunted down. Can you imagine? Hunted down. People hunting you down. But we were never abandoned by God. We were knocked down. We weren't destroyed, though. Here's another good one. You know, if you want to be really fancy, you get a cinnamon stick. None of that cinnamon powder. I mean, if you want to be fancy pantsy, you got to go cinnamon stick, right? They're kind of expensive, honestly. This is an expensive sundae. It smells good. Cinnamon smells yummy, right? A cinnamon stick smells good. You following me? Good job. You're doing great. It smells good, right? But just wait. Just wait. The Lord makes sure that even in the worst trials, when we turn to him and walk with him through it, the best comes out. Now, sometimes the worst comes out, and then we have to repent of it so the best can come out. And the cinnamon stick is crying. Why? I was created to be a cinnamon stick, not a crushed cinnamon stick. What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, and it goes everywhere. This is awesome. This is kind of fun. If I had any frustration before today, it's all been taken out. Who smelled the cinnamon? This is like so strong. Some of you can smell it right now. I just want to like throw it out there for you. To smell. What does God say, though? You are meant to be the fragrance of Christ. And when we go through trials and we go through tribulations and we even go through suffering, it's to make us sweeter. God says what the devil meant to destroy you, I'll turn around for your good. That's just how it's going to be in this age. That's how it's going to be in this age. There's going to be a time when the Lord himself is going to come back. He's going to destroy this wicked age and all of the sin is going to be dealt with. But while we live in this age, there is sometimes a pressure and a crushing. You know how this came about, this whole message, and even my like studying 2 Corinthians 2, 3, 4 this week. I encourage you, go read it. It's so good. But on Monday and Tuesday, Jeff and I were at a pastor's conference in Brookings. And during the pastor's conference, I felt like the Lord said to me, like I felt like he just spoke to me out of nowhere, I want you to know how perfume is made from flowers. The process. I want you to know how flowers are turned into perfume. And I was like, okay, and I barely even wear perfume. It's not something I even think about very often. I have a cast-off bottle from Abby that she didn't want anymore that every once in a while. I mean, it's not a big deal in my life. I'm like, huh, perfume, though. How do flowers turn into perfume? How do you do it? So this week I've been reading about it. I've been studying it. It's been really interesting, really, really fun. You know how you take a flower and make it into perfume? You have to crush it. And here's this rose, cheap rose from Walmart. It doesn't have much scent, to be honest. But to make it into perfume, it has to be bruised and crushed. And maybe your trial is really hard. And the cry and the flowers crying out, why? I looked so pretty before. My life was tied up in a sweet little bow. I was going for the American dream. I'm serious. What is going on? Why is this happening to me? Why does my boss now hate me? Why did I get demoted instead of promoted? Why did trouble get stirred up against me? Why? Why? What is going on? What is going on? And the Lord's like, lean into me in the struggle. Do you smell it? Like, it's so strong up here. Lord, bless your noses if you can't smell. Perfume is made when flowers are crushed. They then actually begin to release their scent and their ointment. Smell really good. You guys go. And then guess what else happens? Like, that's enough, Lord. That's enough, Lord. You got it. You got the oil. No, now they go through the heat. They take the flowers and they put it in distillery. And literally they turn up the heat and the water like evaporates through the leaves and then catches the essential oils. It makes an essential oil basically. Mixes and the condensation comes back down and then you have essential oil. Some of you ladies are essential oil ladies. You're like, oh, I'm rubbing on my essential oils all the time. Just treating my symptoms with essential oils. I don't know much about it. But I know this. I couldn't smell that bouquet standing up here until I started crushing it. And then the smell is like, it's in the air. So you smash the flower, then you heat the flower, and then you have an essential oil that's created that now can be made into perfumes, lotions, and anything that you want. When you go through a trial, and you go through, it says, what does it say here? It says, that trial produces for you a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. You literally get to go through a trial when you turn to the Lord and say, I'm not going to let this make me bitter. I'm going to let it make me better. What is, I know it's, sometimes we hear people say it, don't let it be cliche. Every trial you go through is either a stepping stone or a stumbling block. It's so true. It really is. It's a stepping stone or stumbling block. But it says it produces in us a glory. That's like a smell you get to wear forever, like into eternity. You get to wear it. It's on you. It's on you. It's your glory story. That was hard, but Jesus was faithful. That was really difficult. I thought I was being pressured on every side, but you know what? I wasn't crushed. And now I'm wearing the sweetness of the fragrance of that triumph with Christ. He came through for me. And now, Lord, I'm not bitter. I've forgiven. And I'm wearing the sweetness. And you get it forever. You get to take it into the next trial. Oh, no, no, I've been there before. I know God's faithfulness. I can walk through this. Is it distracting? Is it still there? Or is it gone? Mostly still there. I got the rest of it. I went and washed after. Okay. I smell good, though. You know, Jesus, he went through his own crushing. He went through many trials. Many, many, many trials, right? But you know, even when he hung on the cross, you know, the only thing he got to wear? I mean, he was stripped even naked. Totally humiliated. Beaten. But he hung there still smelling like the perfume that Mary anointed him with just a few days later. And he even said it. When she took, Mary of Bethany took this 12-ounce bottle of pure nard. It was a highly expensive, it actually said it's worth a year's wages. Highly expensive perfume. Can you imagine owning a bottle of perfume worth $50,000? I mean, and she took that thing, probably was her inheritance or her dowry. It may have been her only earthly possession worth anything. Something her father gave her for when, if everyone in her family died, she would still have a way to survive. And she took that jar, she broke it open, and so she poured it all over Christ and anointed him with her love. And that perfume was so rare. It's actually made from this plant that comes from Nepal. And India, remember, she lives in Israel. And they take, It's in the honeysuckle family. This nard is in the honeysuckle family. They take the root of this plant, the rhizome, and they beat it and they crush it. And then they distill it and put it through the heat. And then out comes the essential oil. In this case, pure nard. And that sweet smell was still emanating off of him when he hung on the cross. And even in Ephesians, it says that when Jesus went to the cross, he was a living sacrifice, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Of course, that's because of his heart. But even in all of his gruesome torment, he had a physical smell that reflected the beauty of the inner man that he carried. We're going to go through so much. We actually need to, just going through life, if you have a good life, you go through trials and tribulations, right? But can anyone feel the pressure being turned up in America? It is. It's like the heat got turned up. Will it get better with another election? Maybe, maybe not. Can't be putting our hope on that. We actually have to gird ourselves and prepare our minds. What is it going to look like for me when I face trials and tribulations? The kind that we're used to, and maybe the kind we're not used to. There's trials and tribulations that we're used to, maybe, like unexpected deaths, right? Or, I mean, not used to it, but we're used to seeing it around us, right? It's something common to this world. There's trials and tribulations, like sometimes you don't have favor and you wish you did have favor. Sometimes your boss doesn't like you, or someone stirs up trouble or lies about you, or there's false accusations. I mean, these are things we go through, right? And then there's things that as Americans we're not used to, like full-on religious persecution because you just love Jesus and you smell different than the world. And you've settled in your heart, I don't want to smell like a pile of poop. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to smell like Jesus in a dark world. And you know what it said? It says that to our brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, that smell, oh, it's like a smell of life. Have you ever met someone and you knew nothing about them? You just said hi to them and immediately you felt like you knew they were a Christian, a born-again Christian? That's happened to me many times. Many times. I mean, I'm like, I bet they're a Christian. You know, they've got this smell on them. They've got this light on them. They've got this joy on them. You can just know without even knowing the person, they know Christ. But what does it say? That same passage, it's on your bulletin. It says that same smell to those who are dying, to a world that's decaying and rotting, sometimes this is the smell of death to them. You know what this says? I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you are cursed at this moment because you have not accepted Jesus. And some people hate that, and some people run to you and love it because they're ready to repent, right? But this is one thing that's for sure. We have to gird our hearts and our minds that no matter what suffering happens in this life, no matter what trials and what tribulations and what hardship, you know what? I'm going to come through this by the grace of God, smelling like Jesus, rejecting bitterness, rejecting all the junk, oh, the stuff, the icky stuff, right? Thank you, Lord. I want to read this, and then we're going to have a ministry time in just a second. Actually, Chad, I'm going to have you, if you could come up and just get ready, I'm going to have you lead a song. I want to read 2 Corinthians 4 in the Message Bible. Okay, so the Message Bible is it's a paraphrase. My kids always crack up when I listen to it, but I think sometimes it's fun to listen to different versions. It kind of like bring, if you're used to the Bible a lot and you're like, oh yeah, I know that verse. Yeah, I know that verse. Sometimes you have to have something kind of shake you up and like going, wait, what did that say? Now let me read it again so I can catch it in a fresh way. So the Message Bible is just fun. It's a paraphrase version, but listen how they read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, or verse, yeah, something like that, 16. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making a new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. I love that. They're small potatoes. Isn't that great? The lavish celebration that's prepared for us. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the lavish celebration prepared for us in eternity. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today. They're gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see, now they'll last forever. Why don't you guys stand up with me? You know, some of you are going through a difficult time. You're in a difficult trial right now, some sort. Yeah, a child that's wayward. You got situations happening that are just tough, that weighing on you, that maybe you're worried about. And some of you, like, maybe life is kind of good right now, but you feel that stirring, like, how do you want to face the pit? If you're Joseph and you go from being the favorite son to being a slave, how do you want to walk through that? If tomorrow you kind of lose all your favor and all your favorite things and a trial hits like you've never walked through before, how do you want to smell when that's over? How do you want to get through what you're facing today? What do you want the end result to be? Do you want to be wearing the fragrance that comes from crushing? Or we can reject the process and go a different route. Let's just close our eyes right now. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, make us like you. Lord, you faced the cross and came through it smelling sweet forever. You came through it. Talk about a glory that lasts forever. It was the glory that came when you overcame sin and the grave. When you overcame the persecution of the religious and the hate of this world system and all of the devil's wrath poured out on you in a moment, and you overcame it. You never got bitter. You never got angry. Even on the cross, you were thinking about others. Even on the cross, you were thinking about your mom. Even on the cross, you were thinking about the thief next to you and ministering to him. Lord, we ask that you would give us an inner strength to walk through trials and tribulations and to smell like you, Jesus. God, I pray you would help us to guard our smell, to settle it that we're okay with looking different, with smelling different than the world. Lord, I pray you'd help us to live for eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we want to live so wise as to get eternal rewards through every trial and tribulation that we face and walk through it with the peace of God. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to worship the Lord here. We're going to have a few people. I wonder if Kennedy, if you could come up.